Take your Bibles, please, and turn once again to Luke chapter 15. We're continuing on in our study of the parables given by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 15. A couple of weeks ago, we started in verse 11 with the parable of the prodigal son. And you remember the father's words of rejoicing last week in verse 24, where he said this, "For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. You remember how that text told us of the prodigal who had asks for his father's inheritance to be given to him before the father died, and the father gave it to him, and he, after a few days, he took that inheritance and went to a far country, and the Bible tells us that he wasted his inheritance in riotous living, and he blew it all. He hit the bottom. Remember how we saw the application of all of those truths that are brought out to us. Yeah, he came to himself and he realized the sinfulness of his own heart and how he longed for home once again and his father. This morning we want to pick up in verse 25. Where we have this second half, although unequal, an unequal half, we have this second half of this parable. The first has to do with the prodigal, his sin, his separation from his father, his repentance, and his restoration to sonship. Boy, doesn't that sum up the gospel? Sin, separation, repentance, restoration, sonship. Wow, that sums it up for us. But the other half that we're going to consider this morning in verses 25 through 32, are concerned with the elder of the two sons. Let's just read this text together, starting there in verse 25. "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Thy brother is come,'" that is, he's come home, "'and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.'" And verse 28 says, "And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and if thou hast killed the fatted calf.' And he said to his son, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet, or fitting, or proper, that we should be make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive, and he was lost and is found.'" And so once again, we read this wonderful text of Scripture. And here the Lord Jesus Christ tells us something about this other son. Jesus shows a contrast as he illustrates in this whole chapter. Remember in the first parable that he gave, the parable of the lost sheep, there were 100 sheep and one went astray, and he left the 99 and went and sought the sheep that was lost. And then also with the coins, there were 10 coins, one of them was lost and the other was found. In both times, there was great rejoicing that the one was found. All this points us back to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in the opening verses of chapter 15. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." We have been rejoicing with the wonderful truth that Jesus Christ receives sinners. Aren't we glad for that? Because, we find ourselves identifying with these passages of Scripture. And I hope that each and every one of you can identify with the lost sheep, being that lost coin, or being that prodigal that went the wrong way. But what is Jesus doing here? In each instance, he is saying something for our instruction and for our admonition. He is saying something primarily about the Pharisees and the scribes, as well as to sinners. He's speaking kind of like a twofold way. We have already seen in good measure how the Savior has taught us about sinners and what he can do for them. Thanks be to God for that. And now we can learn from the second brother, like many of the scribes and Pharisees, some things about him. The second brother, first of all, I want you to note something, that he was kind of graceless, wasn't he? He wasn't very kind. He wasn't very considerate. He wasn't very, you might say, Christ-like in his thinking. He was graceless. Even though he was outwardly a just person, remember his argument to his father? I've been with you all this time, and I never transgressed your commandments. Kind of a lie in itself, isn't it, don't you think, when you know your own heart? But I think the Lord Jesus Christ was addressing a bigger crowd when he was saying these things. The contrast he was drawing was between the publicans and the Pharisees and the scribes and those that were the prodigals of this world. These individuals were being really confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already discovered what he said about sinners and what he can do for them. He graciously forgives them. And isn't that the picture that we get of the father receiving the prodigal son? And now we have to go to inquire what he is saying to this other category of hearers, that is the Pharisees and the scribes. And I believe that in the portrayal of the elder son, Jesus is now addressing the murmuring of the Pharisees and the scribes, all the while causing us to put the mirror of God's word up against our own hearts. Nothing is said about this elder son until the celebration of the younger son is taking place. And so we want to see the elder son and his reaction to his brother from the wasteland of sin and destruction. And having returned from his waywardness, we find the brother was made angry. It's interesting. Anger can get people in a lot of trouble. It's really one of those giants that needs to be slain, isn't it? We're going to consider more about that tonight. We see that the first murder in the Bible was because of anger. Remember how Cain slew his brother Abel. because he was angry that God didn't receive his offering. Tells us a lot. It's the principle of first mention. And we have so much written in the Holy Scriptures about this matter of anger. But we're told here that this elder son was angry. He was graceless. His heart had no grace in it for his brother. You think that he would be happy that his brother came home. And you know, we see this in the lives of the Pharisees, which, as we think of the Pharisees in the Lord's day, how they were kind of distasteful. They were the people that were self-righteous. They were the people that thought they were holier than thou. They were these leaders that looked down upon the people, and they considered them as lower than themselves. And it's kind of disgusting when you think about how they viewed things. But I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is driving this truth home to us. Here is one of those who Jesus spoke to when he said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And I think we could describe this second son in one word. Really, he was a Pharisee in his thinking. Jesus was speaking to these scribes and Pharisees. That was his audience, those that were murmuring and saying, "This man receiveth sinners." And so we often think of that as a negative connotation in our minds when we think about the Pharisees. No one loves a Pharisee. We use that word to describe people that are detestable. And has become a name of derision, hasn't it? Oh, they're like Pharisees. They're hypocrites. And that's what we see in Scripture. But it isn't the exact meaning, you know. There was a whole bunch of Pharisees that were true. I mean, I think of a couple of different Pharisees. We read about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee in John chapter 3. He came to Jesus by night, and he was open-hearted to speak to Jesus about his coming. And we also we think of other Pharisees that were probably pillars of their communities. They were good men. They were doing the best they could to follow the law. They were honest people, but We kind of have this idea when we talk about Pharisees in a negative way, and I guess it's rightfully so. The Lord Jesus Christ did refer to them as being such hypocrites. But we find that there were a lot of them that were good men, and they just hadn't had the light of the gospel given to them yet. Anyway, so Jesus is presenting something to us about these individuals through the ministry of the Word of God about the older son. So what we want to see this morning is that these words that were reported by, seems to be a note importance that is given to us. For two times it is said that thy brother, which was dead, is alive. He was lost and now he is found. And so there's this great truth that the Father presents of rejoicing about this one that has come. And so we have this wonderful true story of the Lord Jesus Christ giving us here, and by way of a parable, presenting to us this truth. The scribes and the Pharisees were the ones that were angry. They were jealous. When we see the scribes and the Pharisees, they thought that this Lord Jesus Christ was just totally uprooting their whole ministry to their people. They were turning their world upside down, you might say. And so we have this second passage of Scripture of this parable that tells us the truth about these. This he comes and he was angry, and so we want to see from this passage of Scripture today that his anger was unjustified. And I want you to understand here by way of application that this is a mirror to our own hearts. Number one, it's a warning not to let anger get the better of us. We're going to see tonight different passages of Scripture that tell us about not being angry. It is one of the works of the flesh. It is one of those things that we're told to mortify, that deed, to put it away from us. And we're told that it causes great division and heartache and pain in relationships. And so we want to understand something, though, that what the Father was doing here, he was not overlooking or winking at sin. The Father, when he told his servants to bring the robe and to give him a ring and give him the shoes on his feet and to kill the fatted calf, he was not condoning his son's sin. He was not doing that at all. Because we know from Scripture, and you will never find anything in Scripture where God overlooks or condones sin. But we see that sin must be paid for one way or another. The son that was this prodigal, he knew he was broken. He came back to God. He came back to his father. And he said, "Father, forgive me. Father, look what I've done." And the father, not overlooking his sin, but he forgave him. And so we have the truths of Scripture that the soul that sins, it shall die, unless God intervenes. We see that so beautifully in the cross of Jesus Christ, where the Lamb of God, that sinless Lamb, was slain. He became a curse for us. On the cross that he bore, the Savior from sin, he saved us from our sin. And you either accept his payment for sin, or you'll have to pay for it yourself. Well, this individual was the prodigal, rejoiced in the fact that the Lord saved him from his sin. And so there was this great rejoicing going on, and because this brother was dead and is alive, and he was lost and now he is found, and we find that twice in this Scripture, this great note. And so we know also that from earlier in the chapter that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than the 99 just persons which need no repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to those that those who need no repentance are those that think they need no repentance. Those who are lost. And so we find the Lord Jesus Christ bringing this gospel truth out to us once again in this illustration. The younger son symbolizes those who seek God's salvation and forgiveness of sins. And the older one signifies those who are trying to get to God by their own good works, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The elder brother's heart was different than the younger brother's heart. We see that. The younger brother's heart was full of forgiveness and grace. The older brother, he was graceless. He had a cold heart. And so let's remember this as we think about this. And I would ask you this morning, are you Are you rejoicing in the salvation that God has given to you as a prodigal? Or are you just thinking that, oh, I'm not so bad. You know, I'm not like those sinners. And so which category are you in? Are you in the category of the prodigals? Well, I'll tell you, if you are, you're in good company. Because Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And truth be told, we are all gone astray. We've all gone astray. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Blessed be the Lord who saves to the uttermost all that come to him with their sin and with repentance. And they come for restoration and sonship and forgiveness. Praise God for what we see in this text of Scripture. We're going to be looking more at this matter of anger tonight. He was angry and he would not go in. We'll think about that later on this evening. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have told us that those that are whole need not a physician, but those that are sick. And Jesus said, go and find out what this means. And we thank you, Lord, for reminding us in this parable how we are all sinners. There's none that do good, no, not one, but you are the God of all grace, and that you forgive even the worst of sinners, the vilest of sinners who truly believe. And Lord, we thank you for the promises of your grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. I hope